we're learning here Shmiras HaLoshen, Shar HaTevuna, Perek Vav in English editions, page 246. In other editions, it's the beginning of Perek Vav. Okay. A very heavy topic this morning, which seems a little, at least a person might suggest, it's a little heroically, you know, just too powerful to be able to do something like this. The issue is here of not taking revenge. Now, it doesn't mean to go punch a person in the face. Now, that we don't do things like that. But the basic situation where someone asks you, you ask someone for a favor, and he says no. And you look at him like, why not? It's not inconveniencing him. It's not hurting him. He's not giving you anything up. Just, can you borrow something or can you do you something? And the response is no. The Torah tells us we cannot take revenge. What would revenge mean? Revenge would mean that we would not be permitted when he needs to ask something from us. As the Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos, everyone has the right time. This one sometimes is on top, next person sometimes has his day. So we should realize that. And then when we have our day, and he comes to ask us for something, we all need each other. Even the wealthiest man in the world, you know what? If he gets sick, he still needs a doctor. We're all human. And that sometimes is the reminder. Health is the reminder. How is it? What's the mindset? What's the understanding where the Torah tells a person not to take nekama? Before we say any words, I want to just tell you what the Chavetz Chaim is going to explain to us outside. I once, my daughter once asked me a question. I told her, I'll tell you outside. So she's confused, like, why can't you tell me in the kitchen? Why do I have to go outside the house? So outside, meaning outside from reading the words in the Sefer. It's like the way you talk in one language is, actually, this is my oldest child. She years ago, we were in the Poconos, and she said to me, Abba, what is that over there? And I'm looking around for seeing something unique and unusual. And I see trees, okay, we all know what trees are. I see a log cabin, we all know a lot. And I'm looking, I can't find anything. I said, what are you pointing to? Over there, right there. I'm looking around. It was a payphone. She didn't know what a payphone was. Well, who's he payphone? What's a payphone today? Well, it's a payphone. It's like they have it, it's in the museum of ancient artifacts now, museum, you know, the payphones. In all seriousness, everything that takes place in this world is because Hashem's in charge. So when we go to ask our good old friend Reuven, we go ask him for something. Can I borrow your hedge trimmers? Can I borrow your lawnmower? Whatever it might be. You have a little gasoline. You have a little gas that we can put into the lawnmower. I'll pay you back. What? If he says no, the understanding is it's Hashem who said no. If he says yes, it's Hashem who we have to thank as well. Now, we don't say to him, one second, thank you Hashem, and we don't ignore him. That's, of course, it's ridiculous. Hashem is sending him. He is the messenger. He has a free choice. This man has the free choice. He can decide, do I want to do this mitzvah? Do I not want to do this mitzvah? But if we can ultimately internalize, which is the challenge and test of life, that when something happens, it's all from Hashem, there won't be a situation of anger, of kas. Because although someone's blocking me in, and he's double parked, and you know he has to take care of his needs in life, so he has to put his car somewhere. He doesn't have only smart cars, there's many, many cars, so he blocks my car in. Now, we're not saying these people are doing things wrong. We'll call it wrong. We are straightforward and honest and open. We're not saying that they did the right thing. It's the wrong thing. No question about it. But at the end of the day, we have to take a step back and realize there's a maniga olam. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens just by coincidence. Someone just told me yesterday, just this morning, an hour ago, he told me, nothing major. But just a little point, I said I would say over the story. He said he wanted to buy a sitter. He left his sitter in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to buy a new sitter. He went to this farm store, went up the block over here. And he He said, should I pay credit card? Should I pay in cash? It so happens that he said the exact amount of money in his wallet was what the sitter cost. So he figured, okay, I'm paying cash. That's a good simon. Nothing. That's a little kleinigkeit, a small little point. I want to share with you another story I've said many times, and then we'll read these words. I think it's important to have these little introductions before we delve into this very difficult, not topic to learn, but difficult to apply at times. Years ago, I went to visit my father when he had a knee surgery. And while I was there, my mother asked me to pick up some the clementines, the little, you know, oranges. So I went to the store, I bought a box of them, come back, dropped them off by the rehab place my father was staying in. And, of course, he says to me, okay, take the back with you. I said, no, I got it for you. Mommy asked me to buy it, you know. No, you take it back. So I said, okay, fine, I'll take some back. So I brought three back, I think it was. I wanted him to have it. I was able to appease him by just taking a few back. Okay. I put them in the car, put them on the seat. This was right before Purim. This was the night before we lay in the Megillah. That night, I took those clementines and I said, you know what, I'll put them in my children's lunch and they'll have a snack tomorrow. So I look at the seat and I only see two of them. Maybe it was four, I only found three. I forgot what it was exactly. But I only see a couple of them. So I'm looking around, I can't find it. So I take what I have and I put it in the house and I put in their snack and put in the lunch. Fine. Like I said, and I think the next night afterwards, a day or two later, it was Tanya's Esther, went to shul with my son, fasted a whole day. I don't know why, but I opened the front door of the car, not where you drive, the other passenger seat. And guess what I found? One little clementine. So what's the big deal? Did I find a pot of gold? What's the big deal? It was after Tanya's Esther. I didn't even think a whole day. And I figured, that's why Hashem didn't want me to find it. Because Hashem was saving, my father Hashem was saving the food for me. Right? My father asked me to take some back. I figured I'll give them to my children in their snack. This is all orchestrated. Hashem says, you know what? On the way home, after shul, I want you to put something in your mouth. So I asked my son to peel it. We shared it together. And I made ha'etz. Had I found all of them, okay, so I wouldn't have had it. Everything is orchestrated by Hashem. When we see these little points in life, these little, quotation marks, coincidences, which is no such thing as coincidence, when we tell ourselves, what we have to tell ourselves is Hashem is in charge. Hashem is running the world. Everything takes place with a master plan. Nothing is hefker. We don't understand. It's a little kleinigkeit. Where's that third clementine? Looking up and down in the seats. Can't find it. But there is some bigger plan out there. Sometimes we see the answer right away when we open the front door. And we see this right there waiting for us after the fast. So we have something juicy and sweet to eat right away. But it's the flip side as well. You know, you always hear the stories that people never complain when they win the lottery. Why me, Hashem? You know, why couldn't someone else win $300 million? Why was it me? I've never heard reports of a person complaining about this. But it's a flip side as well. When things don't go the way we assume they should go, we have to immediately inject in ourselves these little stories and add them up in our course of our lives and the course of our friends' lives and their friends' lives and inject that into our neshama and remind ourselves that just like that situation was run by Hashem, so too this situation is being run by Hashem. And it's not Reuven who's saying no. So Hashem says, it's not for me. We have to somehow bypass the person and realize it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who said, not now. If we're able to do that, then when it comes to a situation of taking revenge, it doesn't play a role. There's no starting point. What's to take revenge from? For who? From what? From Hashem? Chas v'shalom. Hashem's my father. Look what he's giving me. Now let's read some words. Let's learn together inside. Voyuvoyar isr nekimu netiro. Here we will discuss in Perek Vav the isr of taking revenge. And the tremendous reward for a person who prevents himself from this avera. Furthermore, if a person sees his friend deals with him incorrectly, he nonetheless has to be careful. He has to be careful not to take revenge from this person, and he should not let the hatred boil up and build up inside of him. You hear what the Torah tells us? You hear what Hashem is saying? Hashem is telling us that if someone does something to us that we don't appreciate, we have an obligation to press delete. What does delete mean? Now we're not deleting him. We're deleting that situation that had offended us. We take away any hatred that might exist. We remove it. And with that introduction we just gave, the understanding is because Hashem is the one who's saying, no, not now. Yes, the question is, why is he bringing in the Nekima and the Netira? And the reason is because Nekima and Nekama and the Netira is definitely on the forefront of why a person will speak Lashon Hara. If someone did something wrong to me, the only appropriate thing to do is use my mouth. I'm not going to go punch him in the face, but I'll go speak to someone else about him and say, oh, you know, this person did wrong,
I'll take revenge.
There's a much greater relationship between Nekima and Netira with the Lashon Hara, because one is, it's not just that he's using the speech to say, no, I won't lend it to you, but it's more of, after the person's upset, they'll go and speak to someone else. But besides that, it's like we gave the introduction, that when the person realizes it, it's basically as follows. The color yellow in America is the same color yellow. It's called Sahov, maybe in Israel, but it's the same yellow color. If you go to China, you go to Australia, the same color. Is that correct? I assume that's correct, right? Yellow is yellow, no matter where you are, right? Is that, yeah, is that right? Okay. Pink is pink, right? Makes sense? So too, the mindset we are told to have when it comes to everyday life, when it comes to Nekama Netira, it's the same thing with Lashon Hara. Why does a person feel compelled to speak Lashon Hara? Because this person did something wrong to me. And no one's standing up for the justice. I'm getting stepped on. But if we remind ourselves, Hashem is taking care of everything. Hashem is the Baal HaBas. You know what happens when you have too many cooks in the kitchen? What happens is the soup is too salty. You know why? Because the chef puts in the salt, but someone comes along, looks through, the chef's not around. Who's the chef? That's the wife making it, whatever it might be, right? And figures, you know what? It needs a little more salt. Last week wasn't in the salt. So he comes in, puts a little salt. And then someone else comes in afterwards and figures, you know, I like my soup a little salty. So he puts also a little salt. Before you know it, it's the salt is the ikker and the soup's a tafel. That's what you left with over here. Hashem is the Baal HaBas. Hashem takes care of everything. So the same mindset that we are to have when it comes to the Nekama of taking revenge is the same mindset of the Lashon Hara, which is none, because that's the same Baal HaBas who says no, yes, or yes, or no. Let's read some words over here. You have to purge that scenario, any hatred from our mind, our hearts. Now this is the difficult part. Not only are we told to remove it, but we are obligated to give this person as much good as we would to our beloved brother, little biological brother. Just like we would do anything for our brother, this same person who told us no, the Torah tells us, make sure you give him whatever you need. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense on the basic level, where he just did something wrong. So you say, okay, fine. So you have your da'wah and deal with you. And you know what? It's one level for me not to hate you. But for me to love you, come on, let's be real. The Torah is not written by man. The Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, follow my footsteps. And the Pasuk says, Kakosuv leisikim leisitor es b'nei amecha, v'ahavta leicha kamaicha. You hear this? Look at the juxtaposition. The Chavetz Chaim will talk about it later. Where is the Pasuk of after Echa Maicha? It's not a Pasuk by itself. It says, leisikim leisitor es b'nei amecha, v'ahavta leicha kamaicha. Right? Is that correct? That's how the Pasuk is, right? So don't take revenge from who? As b'nei amecha, from your fellow brothers, nation, people in your nation. I think people don't realize that the two are juxtaposed. It's right there. It follows each other. Yes? Take a look at the tremendous words of the Zohar Kaddish, the greatness of a person who repays good for what that person did bad to him. These are the words. Tochazi, come and see. Yosef lo dai dihu lo sholem bishol achoy. Yosef, which Yosef is this? Yosef HaTzadik. It's Yosef HaTzadik. What did they do to Yosef HaTzadik? He was 17 years old. 17 years old, yes. The tzaddikim, they went on the same 17-year-old level of a teenager, but he was still 17 years old. They took him, they grabbed him, they threw him into a pit, they ripped off his clothing. Who was this? These were his brothers, his half-brothers. Loidai, the ihu lo sholeim bisho lachoy. Not only did he not repay his brothers for the bad what they did to him. Now, they had their reasoning, whatever it was, that's not for now. Elo da avad imhoin tivu ukshoit. He dealt with them good and honest, with honesty. V'kach orchei hoin dezakoi todir. And this is the way, the orchei on the way of tzaddikim on a regular situation, on a constant basis. Begin da kudsho brichu chayis alayhu. Todir ba'alma dein of alma da'asi. So too, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his concern for them both in this world and the Alma da'asi in the next world. Well, maybe Shah Maisa Barichus Bebainosh Echod Shenitzel Mimisa Bederech Neisa. Zohar HaKadosh elaborates, which the Chavetz Chaim does not bring down over here, about a certain individual who was saved from death. Derech Neis, over midah kadosh azu, through this tremendous midah. This midah of not being repaying the person the evil that the person might have, because he did something wrong to someone else. Let's just see one more paragraph, if we may. V'chudei lahashki des adar bedaito yamartu lahatik rayun echod nizgov mashe. Nimsa v'shorshav yushami eviyu hasmag. We're going to start it today and we'll finish it tomorrow. He brings a maisa from the Yushalmi and the smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, brings us down. And this is basically the mindset we discussed this in the past, how a person has to view life. K'mayshim hayahoylech v'derech. A person's walking. V'nikfa ragleha achas v'shniyo. His right foot, he trips. And he hits his left foot. And he falls down to the ground. And he really messes himself up. I have a friend of mine who was once took a jog. He needed to get some energy going. He took a jog, brand new pair of pants. It was his first and the only day he wore those pants. He went flying. I wasn't there. But I helped bandage him up. His knees, his hands, he tripped. What happened? He tripped over his own feet. He was running. A lady said to him, like, where are you running so fast to? He just fell, you know. His one foot tripped over his other foot. Brand new pair of $60 pants in the garbage. And his hands, of course, he fell. His knees, his hands, put a bandage all over the place. But let's say the right foot was the cause, that the left foot tripped and then caused his whole body to fall. Does the person think, you know what? This right foot, you're gushing blood. I'm not going to take care of you. I'm going to let you bleed. Does a meshugan, does anybody think like this? Of course not. Af ein lo shum sinu ala regla hi. He doesn't treat his right foot any different. He doesn't have any hatred towards his right foot. Ki mi hi ha regel, o mi hu gufay upanov. Ha kol yin echad. Who is his left foot? Who is his right foot? It's one. It's him. Ach shum is chalek leivarim. But he's divided in different parts. There's the right arm, the left arm. Rach shu choyshu bedaydu shavay nesav garmulay. What is his mindset? He should realize, my Averis, okay? It's my shortcomings is what brought this about. And tomorrow we'll continue and see the Nimshel, how this ties in to everyday life.